you, Steve, for leading us in worship, as always, in the worship team. Good morning, First Baptist. Good to see you all this week. Thank you for words of encouragement and prayers as my wife and I were on vacation and were absent last week. Thank you, Sean, for opening God's word for us. And above kind of even all those things, what saddened me from missing last week, knowing that my wife and I, we planned this vacation back in October. We went to go see family in Memphis. And because we have three children that are under the age of five, the 20-hour drive was not something we wanted to complete this time around. We'd made that drive coming here. And with Sam, my oldest son in kindergarten, only having a week off of school, if we spent 2 days driving there and then 2 days driving home, it really wasn't going to be worth the time that we had there, just 3 or 4 days. And so worth the drive. So we decided we're going to fly. Well, it's kind of expensive to fly at Christmas and even in January and Thanksgiving. And so this trip was our kind of Thanksgiving Christmas trip to go see family back in Memphis. And so we planned this back in really September, October, well before I knew that last week we were going to celebrate Black History Month and worship and our time together. And so it saddened me greatly that I missed that, and grateful for those who led and heard great things about it. I don't do this often, and I always do it cautiously, but when I'm on vacation, I always make sure that I read something that I wouldn't normally read, in the sense that it's not a book that I'm reading for study, for a sermon, or a book that I'm reading specifically for my education and my schooling. I usually try to read a biography or something that I read for fun and enjoyment. And in honor of really Black History Month, I picked up a book that has just been recently published called The Color of Compromise by Jamar Tisby. A student, a friend of mine from Jackson, Mississippi, acquaintance more than a friend. And I just want to always cautiously recommend any book other than Scripture to you, because I never agree with anybody completely. However, it is a book that God used that I think would be healthy for the church just to see and understand, in honor of Black History Month, in honor of our history, good and mostly even bad history in relation to those things. And so I just want to say, since I wasn't here to preach a message on this last week, just take an opportunity to encourage us as a church to always be quick to recognize and repent of the sins of our past, to honor the present, and be sanctified and look forward to the future. And so if you're looking for a book to read, I would recommend that book. And to all those who led in worship, once again, thank you for that last week. We are finishing our series in Ephesians. What a journey it has been. We have not in any way in our study in Ephesians been exhaustive in our study of Ephesians. We have at times slowed down and focused on a verse or two on a week, but most of the times, like this week, we're taking larger passages and we're just looking at the main themes within those passages. We're looking at the themes and the truths that we can take from and apply to our lives. And so I want to encourage you to continue to read over all of God's word, but it's Ephesians specifically, while it's fresh on your mind, and ask questions that we may not address in our time together. But it has been an enjoyable time together, and we are going to finish this series in Ephesians 6, in Ephesians this week with Ephesians 6, and then we'll begin a new series beginning next week. If you have your Bibles, once again, I want to begin reading in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I have three just basic truths I would encourage you to write down that just help us see the highlights of this passage and how we can apply to our lives. And the first truth is found in this verse, and it's simply this. I want us to recognize the source of our strength, the source of our strength. This is rightfully so an often preached and taught passage about how we as Christians are to live out the fight of the Christian life. understanding that the Christian life is not necessarily easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it. But it is a difficult daily battle, not only with ourselves, as Romans 6, 7, and 8 would lay out to us, but also, as Ephesians 6 will go on to tell us, that our fight is also a spiritual fight. We understand that that Paul's laid out in Ephesians that this fight has ultimately been won in the person of Jesus Christ. And so as we think about the fight that it is the Christian life, please hear me say from the beginning that you and I are not fighting for victory, but we're fighting from victory. Victory has already been won. It has been given to us in the person of Jesus Christ. He has won the victory for us, and he has given us his victory, if you will, the forgiveness of our sins and victory over sin and death when we put our faith and trust in him. This is the argument that Paul has been laying out, and he specifically unpacks that in Ephesians chapter 2, that this idea that victory has been won, but as we fight this victory, what is then the source of our strength? I think Paul is unpacking greatly in Ephesians, and very specifically here in Ephesians 6, this applicational truth that we often, even as believers, turn to Christ in the moment of salvation, turn to Christ in the moment where we surrender our lives to him, repent of our sin, ask for his grace, and he gives us and bestows his grace upon us. We turn to Christ in that moment, but then go on to live the Christian life in our own best efforts, in our own strength, or in our own wisdom, or whatever we think is best. But here, Paul encourages us, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Paul's talked about the power of God greatly throughout this letter. Let me just remind a key passage where he talks about the power of God in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning of verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And here, verse 19, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the ones to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Notice the similar language here in Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against what? Rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Paul's already talked about that. Paul's already talked about the rulers and authorities and in the spiritual realm back here in Ephesians 1 in the passage we just read, to communicate that Christ's power and God's power that exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him above all of those things is the same power that is the source of yours and my strength in the Christian life. Do we see what Paul is saying? That not only is that power the same power that raised Christ from the dead, not only is that same power that is used to explain Ephesians chapter 2 when Christ raised us from the dead in salvation, but is the same power that you and I are called to be filled with and walk with. Now, understanding Ephesians 5, the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've been kind of under this headline of do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is through the filling of the Holy Spirit that we live in proper relationships, as Ephesians into 5 and 6 go on to. But then finally, this is a continual argument that we be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. One of the most difficult things about the Christian life is that it's just so daily. I say that to say this, is that you and I woke up today, and as believers, we are still fully forgiven and saved, that you and I as believers can never walk out of right relationship with Christ. In fact, because Christ is the one who has saved us, he is the one who holds us and preserves us in right relationship with him, that if our salvation was dependent upon us, that due to our sinfulness, you and I would walk out of right relationship with God. But praise God, it's not dependent upon us. It is dependent upon him. You and I woke up today in right relationship with Christ because of Christ, if he has redeemed us. Now, listen to me, though, but that does not guarantee that you and I have woken up today surrendered practically to the lordship of Christ in the filling of the Holy Spirit. Every single day I wake up with Jonathan on his throne. I've been redeemed by Christ, but my sinful nature still wants to reign and rule in my life. This is why Jesus said, if any man would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow after me. The Christian life is a daily life where we surrender to Christ every single day. We ask him to be filled. He fills us with his Holy Spirit, and we are strengthened in his power. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. One of the struggles that I have personally, but also that I recognize as a pastor in those that God's called me to lead, is just so often we fight the Christian life in our own strength. Too often I see believers trying to figure things out, and they forget the source of their strength to begin with. They forget that if it was up to them, that they would never have victory. But because of Christ, we have victory. And so what is the source of our strength? It is the person and the work of Jesus Christ. But I praise I appreciate, better word here, Paul's writing style, not just in Ephesians, but in all his letters. He's a great preacher in the sense that he illustrates well. I'm not personally a very good illustrator. It's a weakness of mine, but I appreciate Paul. And he illustrates this more in a practical way with what we know as the armor of God. Verse 14 begins this way. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I love that Paul is using the imagery of a soldier. Everybody understands the soldier, especially this equipment. And so he's giving illustration to help them visualize that we are to be filled. And I believe it's very practical ways, which we're not going to unpack all of them. But it is a visual picture that every part of us is covered, that we are outfitted fully with the strength of God. We don't just have part of our strength coming in a shield from God, or part of our strength coming in a sword, but our helmet, our breastplate, all the way down to our shoes is fully covered in the strength of God. And there's a visual here, even as we think about battle, that there's no armor reference to the rear of the soldier, understanding that the Christian life is to be pressed forward. The Christian life is not one of a retreat where we expose our back, but we are filled with the source of God's strength, which is the person and the work of Jesus Christ, the filling of the Holy Spirit. And in practical ways, Paul lays out for us of how we are to live out this Christian life, the source of our strength. Second, beginning in verse 11, he says this: put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. The first truth, we see the source of the strength. Second is the focus of our fight. The source of our strength is the person of Jesus Christ, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the power given to us by God. But second, the focus of our fight. Notice, keeping in mind that this passage is not detached from Ephesians 5 and the first half of Ephesians 6. What did Paul just get done outlaying three sections of principles of relationships? He talks about the relationships between husband and wife. He talks about the relationships of children and parents. And he talks about the relationships of slaves and masters, or as we talked about, this idea of these social working relationships. what happens in all those relationships? What happens in any relationship? When we have relationships, there's friction. When people rub together, when life rubs together, when we live shoulder to shoulder with people, friction happens. There's going to be difficulty. There's going to be arguments. There's going to be disagreements. There's going to be, even if you will, disunity. And so it's at this point that Paul reminds us, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against the relationships that were just mentioned. Our ultimate struggle is not against the fights that come between the husband and the wife. Our ultimate struggle is not the friction that comes between parents and children. Our struggle is not ultimately against workers and co-workers and others that we live in relationship with. But our struggle is against not those specific people or those specific persons. It is not against flesh and blood. This is not as much a physical battle that is being mentioned as much as it is a spiritual battle. But he says our focus, our fight, our struggle is against the rulers, and against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, I want us to remember that Paul's already unpacked in Ephesians 1 that through the person of Christ, that God exerted power in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him above all of these things, above the spiritual realm, above that which we are now recognized that we are in a fight against. Understanding that the Christian life is ultimately a spiritual struggle, that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Now, this is hard for us to remember, even especially in the church. Conflict will arise. It always arises. Unity is not so much the measure of the absence of conflict, but as much about how we handle conflict and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit amidst conflict. Understanding that when disunity comes and understanding when disagreements come, that when there is a disagreement, whether it be between husband and wife, because my wife and I, we never fight. I mean, y'all never fight, correct? My kids never disagree with me. My kids are always so respectful and say, yes, sir, all the time. There's never friction. I'm obviously kidding. But when those friction comes, I understand that that's an opportunity for the enemy to do a great harm, that the devil works in these places of disunity. He works in these disagreements. And we've got to recognize that when these moments come, and this is always applicable to us, because I can't imagine that there's anybody in this room that just has perfect unity with everybody and disagrees with nobody. If you disagree with nobody, then you don't talk to anybody. But obviously, we talk to people. Disagreements are going to come. But let us see that we understand as believers, first and foremost, that our battle is not against the person we see with our physical eyes, but our battle is against the enemy who is out to steal, kill, and destroy not only us individually, but the body of Christ specifically. The enemy is working in these ways. And so we must see the focus of our fight is not the person we see with our physical eyes, but the enemy that is seen with our spiritual eyes. That we understand that ultimately when that the enemy is out to dismantle and destroy the work of Christ. Understanding that, once again, let's be reminded that the enemy can never still kill and destroy our salvation in Christ. But he can do his best to keep us down. He can do his best to keep us discouraged, to disunify and destroy the witness of Christ to the world around us. He is at work right here. The kingdom of God runs on rails, if you will, or the spiritual realm. It's just an illustration. Don't theologically try to prove this to me, but it's just from experience that anywhere I think about a train, kingdom or rails, that there's two rails. Anytime we see God moving, the enemy's right there to try to work and dismantle as well. So if we see a place where God's moving, the enemy's there right next to it, parallel, trying to do great disharm. And so we must be ready that when God is working, we must be ready for the enemy's attack. Once again, I know it's been months, but when we started this, we talked about the context of Ephesians. And the context of Ephesians is Paul is writing to a very spiritual group of people. They understand the spiritual realm. They understand that this is reality. He's not teaching them something new. For you and I, this is something that has to be taught to us. Why? Because we live in an enlightened culture that is very materialistic and the beliefs that ultimately what we see is reality. That we don't have much room for miracles. We don't have much room for the spiritual realm. Now, we know that scripture teaches that, but our culture says not so. So you and I grew up not accustomed to that. You and I grew up not necessarily believing that, but it's through the submission to God's word that we come to see this reality. And so you and I would say in that sense, are fighting at a deficit because we tend to lean towards material fighting instead of recognizing the spiritual battle that's happening, that's playing out in the physical world. You and I are living a Christian life that is a spiritual battle. The source of our strength is Christ. The focus of our fight must be on the spiritual realm, must be on the enemy first and foremost. Now, before I go to point number three, truth number three, let me just say this. I am not saying that individuals are not responsible for their own sin. I'm not putting all the blame on the enemy. I'm not saying that, but I am recognizing that our fight overall is a spiritual fight that that the enemy is battling against us. Truth number three, we see the priority of our prayers, Now, rightfully so, when we look at this passage of the armor of God, it's titled the armor of God, depending on what translation you have. Mine's titled the armor of God. And it's such a unique passage that it gets a lot, the armor of God verses get a lot of focus. But I want to pay attention that there is as many words that are put on prayer alone as there are on the rest of the armor of God. So we need to see a priority that's being placed here by Paul in this emphasis on prayers. Verse 18 says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and request. Let me give the simple, what does it mean here in this idea of praying in the Spirit on all occasions? Remembering, this passage is in line with the passage from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Paul is giving the rest from Ephesians 5:18 all the way to the end. He's giving us a picture of what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit, how we relate to one another and others, and how we live out the Christian struggle. So because being filled with the Spirit, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Don't pray in your own strength. Pray in the filling of the Spirit with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Can I just give a simple breakdown of three kind of subpoints to this and the priority of prayer? First, we just see Paul give a command to just pray. Be filled with the Spirit and pray. All kinds of prayers. You know, we could think about different types of prayers. We could think about in service, we have different types of prayers throughout the service. There's other ways to think about this, but he says all kinds of prayers and requests. Just pray. Be in a spirit, in a state of prayer. Pray for all things. Pray for what comes to mind. Pray for things you have written down. Pray for the battle as it is in context of this. Pray for what you and how you see the enemy working in your life and how you see the enemy working around you. Pray for all these things. Pray and generally filled with the Holy Spirit. Second, he says, pray for all of the Lord's people. This is important. Remember, this isn't just in the context of, hey, let's be nice and pray for everybody, but this is in the context of recognizing that this is a battle and we are in a battle. Understanding that you, as God's redeemed son and daughter, you are in a battle and so is the person sitting next to you. The greatest way that you and I can battle is on our knees. The priority of prayer, not only for yourself, but for the brothers and sisters in Christ that you sit next to. Pray for all the Lord's people. So grateful just for just in the last few months, but even recently getting to spend some more time with the deacons, and grateful that our first deacons meeting that we had after or I guess this past month for this year was an emphasis on how can we pray for every single person on a continual basis. I need you to know that your church leadership is praying for you, but I also need to encourage you to do likewise. How can you, not just deacons and leaders, because that's their responsibility, but how can you, understanding that you are called to pray for those that are sitting next to you? They need it. They need your prayers and you need their prayers. What fight, when we think about a fight, I don't believe anybody hearing this in the first century, reading Paul's letter, would have pictured a soldier out fighting on his own. Paul doesn't reference this tons about this idea of us being in a group fighting. But however, nobody's going to picture a soldier out on the battlefield by himself. But a soldier is going to lock arms side by side with other soldiers to go out and fight. And in the same way, Paul is giving a nod to that when he says this here, keep on praying for all the Lord's people. This is a fight that you are never intended to fight on your own. One of the greatest gifts to us as believers is the body of Christ. One of the greatest gifts to us is the reality that we can live life with one another, that we can bear one another's burdens, that we can fight this battle together. And listen to me, too often when we lose sight of who the focus of our fight is, and ultimately it's not on flesh and blood, and too often when we don't live in the source of our strength, which is Christ, when we forget those two points, instead of fighting with others and side by side, we start fighting against others in the body of Christ. Do we see this? Do we see when we focus our fight, not when we focus it on our own strength and not on God's strength, and the source there, and then we focus our fight and forget that the priority of our fight is in the spiritual realm. When we lose sight of all that, we go from fighting side by side to fighting against one another. This is why, first and foremost, as we think about the priority of prayer as it relates to one another, let us pray for one another. When disagreement comes, let us seek reconciliation. Let us pray for our hearts and other hearts, and let us pray for unity above all, because if we do not, as the body of Christ, fight together, then the victory will not be realized always in practical ways in our lives. My pastor used to say this to me all the time, and you've heard me say it, that the enemy wants to isolate us, to assassinate us, that if he can get us separated from others, then he can have his way in our lives in practical ways. He can never take away our salvation, but you get the practical idea to that. And so let us fight together. So not only let us pray filled with the Holy Spirit, but second, let us pray for one another. And then if I may take the opportunity to use God's word for a selfish reason, and he says, pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. This is an opportunity that I can be selfish in a good way. Can I encourage you that Paul's encouraging you to pray for your pastor, to pray for your leaders, to pray for those not only leading you, but pray for those who are on the front lines proclaiming God's word, that it'll be proclaimed fearlessly, because we live in a culture that does not stand to the authority of God's word, that does not worship Christ, and what God's word says that they disagree and rebel against. And the temptation comes from those who are in my shoes to stand here and preach God's word and back away from hard truths, or to preach to itching ears, as scriptures says, or to preach in such a way that appeases people instead of just proclaiming Christ in a loving and gracious way. So would you pray for me? Would you pray for pastors? Would you pray for leaders? Would you pray for those that are teaching God's word so that they may fearlessly continue to proclaim the good news of the gospel, the good news that the enemy hates, and he will do anything that he can to try to destroy that. But once again, understanding Ephesians 1:18, that the enemy is under the authority of Christ. He can fight all he wants, but he is fighting a losing battle because he has already lost the war. This should be an encouragement to us that Paul is encouraging and challenging us on how we are to live and fight the Christian life. But let us end with this reminder that the victory has already been won. I know all of us, because it is the sinful nature that still resides within us, all of us can point to something in our life that we feel like that Christ death has not been applied to, whether that be a sin that we're struggling with, whether that be emotions, whether it be a physical ailments, whatever it may be, that we can look at our lives, if we're honest and humble, I know I can, and go, man, I'm really struggling to allow Christ to reign and rule in this area of my life. But this is where I need this passage to remind you, the victory's already been won. And so as I turn to Christ, filled with the Spirit, the source of my strength is Him. I focus my fight ultimately on the spiritual battle. It's on a matter of worship of my heart and how I deal with these things. And then understand that the greatest fighting will take place on my knees. I will prioritize prayers. I will prioritize prayers not only for myself and my in this battle, but prioritize prayers for others. I will live a life on my knees. I pray, and I don't just say this flippantly, but I pray that I will have knees that are calloused. I pray that I'll have knees that are not in the best shape. Well, that's going to happen because I'm 6'6 already, and that just tall people have bad knees. But I pray, and you get my point, that I genuinely pray that I would, my body would feel the reality that I've lived my life prioritizing prayer. And I pray that you would do the same. As we end the book of Ephesians, let me read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23 as a prayer over us. Peace to the brothers and the sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Let's pray.